Struggling to move your nonprofit forward? You've come to the right place. Welcome to the Nonprofit Architect, where we are giving you the actionable steps you need to launch and grow your nonprofit organization. Now, here's your host, Travis Johnson.
Do you feel your nonprofit's not getting enough in monthly recurring donations? If so, then you need sharing the credit. Every time you go into a business and swipe your debit or credit card, one of the fees taken out by Visa and MasterCard at the end of the month goes back into the system. Now, normally this is a bank, but it is legally allowed to go to a registered nonprofit. Sharing the Credit worked with a small local nonprofit. They took this information to their donor base, and 19 businesses started using Sharing the Credit. Now, this small local nonprofit receives $11,000 in monthly recurring, unrestricted, ongoing donations. This is the definition of sustainable funding. Businesses have to take plastic, so they might as well use part of those fees to support their favorite cause, your nonprofit. Check out my affiliate link in the show notes for Sharing the Credit. Book a call with Will Black and start your journey to more donations and better relationships today. Hey, welcome back to the show. I'm here today with my guest, Anna Choi. Anna, how are you doing today?
I'm awesome. How are you, Travis?
I'm doing fantastic. See, what you all don't know is I got to spend a week with Anna at a ranch in Texas, and we just got off like a group call leading right into the podcast. So we're already loose. We're already free flowing. We're already enjoying the heck out of life. Anna runs Conscious Leadership Foundation and is also the chief energy officer at soul-joy.com. Anna, what's up? Tell us a little bit about your background, who you are, what you do, and why you do it.
Excellent. So as the chief energy officer of Soul Joy, what we do is really focus on serving high-achieving, creative, conscious business leaders who are really dealing with the chatter of their mind and how to really cut through distractions so that they can focus their energy and, more importantly, master their energy to tap into a boundless reservoir of energy that's available all the time for each person. Our mission and vision is around really empowering our next generation of leadership globally so that we can cause a tipping point in elevating humanity's consciousness.
Yeah, that's really cool. I know when we met out at the ranch, you're like, hey, let's do this morning Tai Chi something or other. And we ended up like pounding chakras for an hour and I had to run. I was forced to. The class kept going, but I had to leave. I had never done that before. And although I knew it was a thing, I had never really been involved in something like that. Like, what brought you into that space?
Yes. And just so people don't think you like ran off running, what did happen, Travis? Why don't you share about that? You cleared some stuff out, like emotionally, mentally, energy on every level, right? And there was like that lower back pain, right? That like,
oh yeah, we did the lower back one too. We did the arm movements. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cleared up my back pain in like just a couple of minutes worth of work. And she's like, how are you doing later? And I was like, my back feels wonderful. Love how you did that.
Yeah, a lot of people have layers and layers of energy. So energy travels, comes in light, sound, or vibration. And a thought is an energy, a pen is an energy. Everything's made up of energy, molecules and particles, right? So there you go. It's layered in our bodies from trauma and stress. And a lot of times it doesn't come out. It's still in the body. And so a lot of that Tai Chi movement I call mindful meditations is what allows that to surface and exit and come out.
Yeah, that's really cool. I want to talk today about a couple of different things with you. One is you've got your business that feeds, it's like a social enterprise that feeds your foundation. And then I want to talk to you about your Alive program, your year-long course, and ALIVE each has its own special meaning. So tell us a little bit about your foundation, the Conscious Leader Foundation.
Yes. My son, when he was in first grade, he had this kiddo come and, you know, throw a chair at the teacher. And then the next day they like were getting in fist fights. My son was just watching this, right? So, you know, recesses were brutal. It was like gangs, like the kindergarten gang with the first grade gang swearing at him. And it was wild. I thought initially as a mother, okay, it's good to have them have socioeconomic background differences. And, you know, a lot of those kids there are ACE, adverse childhood experience kids. You know, parents are in prison. Parents just leave for the weekend without telling them they're minors, you know, divorce, whatever. So they're dealing with things. So it comes out at school because there's no else for that energy that's all pent up to go. So I had compassion, right, for the kids, right? And I wanted my son to kind of be around it. But it got to a point where it was just not conducive for learning. So I pulled him, and my husband and I decided, you know, our tax dollars are still going to go to this school, even though we put him in private school. But what else can we do? I don't want to just abandon these people. And I had been on the PTA, and I was an art docent because I cut art from school and try to get involved as much as I could before we left. But we still want to do something more. So that's the inception of the Conscious Leadership Foundation. We knew, I have, you know, through my work that I've done, there's a brain power wellness curriculum that's been tested in over 500 schools and 500,000 kiddos and for teachers that works. And it's designed for no matter how hard the situation is. Actually, in a country, in the founder of this at the UN met with the UN delegate or whatever of education, and they implemented this brain power wellness curriculum, and it works so well for very, very traumatic situations of children dealing with really hard things. They blossomed into these amazing leaders that led the community. 25% of the schools now use it as a mandatory thing because it works so well. So then a guy did that in New York and Harlem, same thing, Title I schools. Anyway, it works is the bottom line. So I was like, well, this is the perfect school that could use that, right? And that's what began. And so I just do the fundraising side. We launched it with this Conscious Business Summit that we ran in 2019, got a bunch of leaders together, ignited a presence movement. And then from those, you know, we raised a few thousand dollars that we used to then fund a school by school initiative for all the staff to then create a culture of mindfulness that would allow the teachers to just to do simple 1 minute brain breaks with kiddos that are dealing with stuff and, you know, be able to deal with themselves and have emotional resilience, have that grit and that leadership that is required, right, to not just be mindful, but really rise no matter what their circumstances are.
Oh, that's really cool. So you brought the brain power wellness curriculum into the school and helped repair what was going on?
Yes. Well, we raised the money, we granted the money, and then we met with the leadership, with the principal, and they essentially rejected it, which was interesting because they were so burned out and the leadership was that much of a turnover every less than a year. The principal couldn't even last. It was in such turmoil, they couldn't implement. And this was kind of a, whoops, got to get in the community and figure out what they really need, right? So we ended up pivoting because this is all during the pandemic, mind you. So it's like they've got that on their mind of being hybrid and in person and everything. This is like in 2020. So then we decided just to, there's a training camp that's virtual. So any person that's a teacher, any educator can come get trained and certified and then bring it back to their school and use for their students. So we gave out 3 scholarships. It's how for actually a community college for K through higher education. We were going to, I still have a heart to keep it to local K-5 or K-8 schools, but that's not, we got to go where there's need and interest, right? So pivoted.
Yeah, that's really cool. And then you use SoulJoy to create fun as a funding stream to fund your foundation.
Yes, yes. As a social enterprise, we donate a large percentage of profits straight into the Leadership Foundation. That's our why. It funds part of our why. And as a social enterprise, it funds a nonprofit, but we have a kind of buy one, give one model. So for every client that we onboard, we fund a social entrepreneur in India. Or like for every email we send, we give water in a certain country. Like that was just an example. We don't do that actual last one, but it's that prior to this, I was a conscious business coach. So it was important to have a model that exemplified a social enterprise, which is the heart of the mission of a nonprofit, but the hands and feet of a business profit with a revenue stream.
Oh, absolutely. This is one of the big things that I preach is that there's more than one way to provide value to that world, right? To the world that we live in, the world around us, the group of people that we want to help. Starting a nonprofit is one way to do it, but it's not the only way to do it. So you found a way to partner with, you happen to run the foundation as well, but you could use your social enterprise to fund other groups and other organizations. And I'm not talking to Anna specifically. I'm talking to the audience. You can use your business to help partner with a nonprofit that you care about, that you love, that you want to support. And you can do it either directly through funds out of the front end, or you can hop on the link in the show notes. I know you heard that an ad at the beginning sharing the credit. You can save money actually off your back end credit card processing. And 40% of that fee goes directly unrestricted to the nonprofit of your choice. So people that Anna, like you have businesses in your ecosystem, they could help support your foundation as well while saving money off their bottom line. So a lot of different ways to do things. You can do it without starting your own nonprofit. But your business, SoulJoy, you're actually connecting with business leaders, bringing them into consciousness, reducing their stress, helping them be more aware, and you use the Alive program. What is the Alive program? How did you create this?
Yes. So we were surveying actually all of our customers and clients that we've served over the years and seeing what they actually need the most. And then taking that, we drew on ancient wisdom of 10,000 years old and have deduced and simplified essentially energy principles, laws really, that have existed for millennia to the modern day person, because obviously people can't just go to the Himalayas on a mountain and meditate forever and withdraw from the world. I mean, you could. And how is the most impact going to get made, right? Like, if you are enlightened and don't use any of what you have been given, what is the point? You've got to share it and circulate that energy, I like to say. So that's what Alive does is and is inspired by, is to bring ancient wisdom into modern everyday life. A-L-I-V-E is an acronym. So it's A is allow more yin to your yang. L is listening within. I is inspiring soul first. V is valuing your fears. And E is energizing your daily flow.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, all those things are, we're coming up. We have a book coming up, but it'll be next year, but it's at the editor's right now.
That's really cool. What does it mean to allow more yin to your yang? I know a lot of people have seen the symbol, but they don't actually understand what the structure is or what it represents. Can you speak a little bit about that?
Totally. So we live in a very yang energy society. Go, go, push, push, act, act, grow, grow 10 times. And not a lot of yin is celebrated. The hustle and grind of the yang energy is celebrated. So yin and yang is harmony. It's where you balance. And it's, I like the word harmony better than balance, because balance implies like this middle space that you teeter between, but it's kind of tense to have to stay balanced there. Versus harmony is like, yeah, sometimes you're one way and sometimes you're the other. And what's important is to know where you are and bring in the other energy to help, quote unquote, balance or harmonize that area. So if you are someone, which most of our, at least Western society is, overworked, overcommitted, in burnout, not great health, right? Then you probably have done that from stress and working too much in some capacity, whether you're a burned out do-gooder doing nonprofit work, very common, right? Burnout. Or whether you're in corporate world or have your own business and you created a job for yourself again, whoops, through your business, you're yanged out. And we need to bring some yin. And yin energy, this principle applies not just to what I'm saying energetically at work, but for the seasons, right? We have general flow of an ebb and flow. Everything of how life flows is in cycles. But we tend to think it's a linear line that goes up and never stops. So it's really thinking of life like a circle. And that's why it's a circle, right? Not another shape. But anyway, so when you have yin energy, this is doing nothing. This is digesting what you've learned, reflecting. It is leisure, or it could be pleasure, right? It's just surrendering, then pushing. It's allowing, then making something happen. So the allowing more yin to your yang is consciously creating on an annual, quarterly, monthly, weekly, daily basis, yin structure in your life such that it's inevitable. You're like creating the flow to happen than waiting for it to happen. Because by default, you're just going to go yang all the time. But if you consciously create yin time, so that could be, we'll talk about more later, the morning routine and that flow of inspiring soul first. That's more the I. But on an annual basis, I recommend on a very tactical level, take a week off every quarter. Yes, 4 weeks off a year. I know that seems like a lot. I actually, 6 weeks I've found to be the sweet spot. I found 10 weeks a little much to be out that much. 2 is not sufficient. 4 to 6 is the sweet spot. In Australia, they have that much paid time off. We're actually one of the few countries that have the worst paid time off than many others.
When you say we mean the United States. This podcast is heard all over the world. So,
That was very U.S. centric to say. Yes, the U.S., which is where I'm from.
Yes. Yes, the U.S. currently. It's interesting that you talk about this stuff. So I was at, those that have been longtime listeners know that I had a very busy, stressful, and strenuous first quarter of 2022. And I actually met Anna at a week-long retreat/training/ karaoke with Anna. And then I had another two-week road trip that I was just continuing on to build some yin time into my life. There's so much going on. And if we allow it, if we let it, like the world, our job, or whatever we've decided to sign up for, they'll take as much as you give them. And if you don't have this dedicated, conscious place where you've said, I am going to do nothing. That's one of my favorite old jokes for a couple of years. Someone's like, I saw on Facebook, you said you're doing nothing today. Do you want to do something? I was like, no. You misunderstand. I have scheduled nothing into my schedule. That I have nothing to do and I'm going to be doing nothing. And some people were asking me, like, I really don't understand. And like, if you jam pack, and you can jam so much into your daily life. You can have, especially if you get kids in sports, plus you're working, maybe you're doing a school on the side, maybe you're trying to run a small business. If you're in the nonprofit world, you're volunteering or you're working, like you can max out every moment of your life. And there's not anything wrong with that, right? It's not illegal, but that doesn't mean that you're not going to need either you're going to schedule in some yin time or your body is going to force you into some yin time from overexertion, from stress, from burnout, from all of those things. So I was happy, really happy that I got to meet Anna during my scheduled yin time, my walkabout, my road trip, my spirit quest, whatever the thing is that you want to call it, depending on what part of the world that you're in. Pitch perfect. He's like, I'm a free pony. Like, you can't hold me down. I love that. I love that we have to add a little bit more yin to your yang. That's the A. The L is listen within. What does that mean? That's not really a Western concept. People don't do that inherently. At least I don't think.
Yeah, it's more Eastern. Listening within is being able to discern all of the loud inner committee you have in your head, like the movie Inside Out. So it's discerning, which is essentially the ego's voices versus your, I call it your soul, your spirit, your higher power, your true self. Take your pick of what resonates most for you. Being able to discern that voice, which often can come as a tiny small whisper, and that's been overpowered by a loud ego for quite some time. And within the ego, there's typically three desires of either recognition or control or safety. And you can pretty much trace most of your thoughts to your reactionary thoughts to one of those three ego's desires. And then you know, right, which one's which, because sometimes it's very hard to tell because the ego's so sly, like tricky. Anyway, so that's the essence of listening within, is being able to listen within and tune in to the right voice that you want to listen to guide your life. So that instead of being ego-driven, you are soul-driven or higher self or true self driven.
One of the things I heard over the last couple of years that really kind of knocked me on my butt is that we are not the voice in our head. The voices in our head, whether they're the ego or some other thought or whatever else, those are things, those are checking files. Those are not you. Those are things speaking to you and through you. And then you can determine what actions you're going to take. One of the things, there's a lot of people around my circle that have quite a bit of stress. There was one person in particular that really, they just did everything off emotions. I kind of called him out on it. I was like, well, you're doing this. Like, well, I just really felt like, well, so I was like, look, your feelings are indicators. They're saying something can be considered good or bad or whatever else, but they're indicators. They're not who you are. You feel those feelings and then you decide how you're going to act based off that information. If I did everything based on feeling, I wouldn't get up in time for work every day because I wouldn't feel like getting up. right? That voice in my head that's telling me, oh, this bed is so comfy and safe and warm, and it's storming out, so it's going to be kind of a lazy day anyway. Like, I could listen to that voice, but that would be my choice to listen to that voice. That voice is not me.
Totally. And there's a fine line of distinction, right? Because like you said, we're not our thoughts, we're not our emotions, and we're not our body sensations. But typically we're reacting with our five senses to one of those things and thinking that it is us. So when we get sick, we get mad, maybe, because we identify with being sick, right? Or if we are angry or snap at our family member, we get mad or embarrassed because we think we are that angry reaction. But as you were saying, they are things that are reactions. And there's a place in listening within where it's like you go back here. Michael Singer with the surrender experiment describes it well. He has another book as well. But you're observing, you become the witness. And so no matter what your body, mind, you know, feelings are reacting to or triggered by in a situation, you have the capacity to sit back and observe and watch. And that observer has a voice, so to speak, or an inner knowing. It might come to you as, or for some people, they're visual or auditory. But however way it comes to you, that wisdom, it's really about listening within to that inner wisdom that watches it all.
Oh, I definitely like that. I definitely like that. What's next? What's that I?
Inspire soul first.
What does that mean? Inspire soul first.
You know, it used to be invest in you first, and actually it was invest in teams back in the day. And in working with clients, found how much people work on these tactics outside themselves, but it doesn't get to the root source of why they're stressed or burned out or whatever. Then we looked over years and working with people that their morning routines. And most people know the first hour or so is very critical to the rest of your day and how it gets set. But what I still found is people who are very disciplined, you know, again, we're working with high achievers here. They're like, oh yeah, I go work out and then I go read the news or I go do this or that. They don't usually talk like that, but.
Direct quote from Anna's clients. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. You know, you can ask us a couple questions that get to the heart. If they're inspiring soul first, does what they do connect in to their true self, highest self, you know, source, whatever you want to, what resonates for you, to God? Does it connect you in, or is it just about achieving? And many times the morning routine can be about getting organized to be productive, which is distinct from connecting and building a deeper relationship with your soul and inspiring soul first. So it doesn't matter so much what you're doing, it's the way in which you're doing it or flowing through it, as a friend would say. So for example, a lot of people work out. People are just proud if they do work out regularly each day. Let's just be honest.
I went to the gym last week. I don't understand why I'm not massive and like in great shape. Fit more than once. I don't know.
I know. I was like, kudos if you are actually getting yourself out of bed and going to work out regularly consistently more than once a week or at all, right? But let's say you are, and even those people, they're checked out thinking about what they're going to do in the business or what they're going to do next or in their nonprofit or whatever work they have or the day, right? Imagine that same exact action. Now they are consciously being able to do that action. So they're just listening to their breath, their presence. And imagine the impact of 20 minutes of that, what I call a moving meditation or mindfulness, right? For the rest of their day to ground themselves. So the litmus test is what you do the first 30 minutes to 60 minutes a day ground you for the rest of the day? And I meditate for an hour a day in silence, just sitting there. And I can totally tell the difference. I do it at 4 a.m. when my kid does something that might trigger me. If I am irritated and annoyed and say something back, or if I just am patient and I can let it flow or respond with love, surefire, or my spouse, right? Either one.
Kids should always come with a trigger warning. You never know what's going to happen with whatever
they are. Our best opportunities to grow, aren't they? We thought it'd be all fun and games.
It's so interesting how expectations and perspective come into play with just about everything in our lives. when we start our morning with mindfulness or meditation or gratitude or working out, people in the gym, I don't know if it's the same as people that go for like a morning run or a morning bike ride, being out in nature, you get this different perspective of everything that goes on. And it's really easy to let all the things in our life build up and become this kind of monster we have to defeat unless we have the right kind of perspective about what's going on.
Totally. Totally. Those first few moments of Inspiring Soul First are so critical, not just for the day, but for your life in building a long-term sustainable health, happiness, and peace inside.
Yeah. In full transparency, this is not something I do well. This is not something I do well at all. Yeah. I wake up and depending on the dreams that I had the night before, I might be catching my breath. I might be like defending myself. I have some pretty just wild and really interactive dreams. I wake up and I'm like, is this reality? Like, what's going on? And then I check the time. I don't wake up to an alarm clock anymore. So I check the time to see how much time I have before my first event. I'm starting to schedule these things. The first thing I do in the morning is at 10 a.m. So I'll see if I have time to do something. Sometimes I discover that my next thing starts in 10 minutes and I still make it on time, but there is no like thoughtful good morning prep time. I definitely don't inspire soul first on those days. And I can tell a difference when I do something productive or mindful in the morning, or I don't.
Totally. It's night and day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Got to create that vulnerability through authenticity. I suck at morning routine. What comes after the I? There's the V.
Value your fears.
This is an interesting, when you mentioned this to me before we started, I was like, I want to know what on earth this is. What do you mean valuing our fears? Isn't that like the complete opposite of everything that we're taught? Like, how do you value the thing that you're afraid of?
Totally. It actually, in all honesty, started off as vanquish. Which is more what people are used to as far as fighting against something. But as we did the work and continued the principle, it was clear value was much more expressive of what the energy is that's needed. So if you think about fears like little kids, that's what they are at the source. They just maybe got a lot of dark layers energetically, whatever that fear might be, right? Could be a fear of growing apart in your marriage. Could be a fear of not being close with your kids. Not really living life true to yourself. That's like the number one regret of people dying. Whatever it is. Then if you can face the fear and allow it, we do another acronym for you. Now, notice, observe, and welcome. Those are three stages of the fear that once you master it can just take a half a second. But in the beginning, it's awkwardly long, maybe like, what is the notice? What is observe? What is welcome? And so we do this. I do this a ton with clients. Like I just was working with this contractor and his wife, and they're super successful financially and, you know, in general have a great life on the outside. But there's, you know, not them, but I'm saying people have PTSD. People have their own demons that they deal with, and they don't show that on the outside. But that energy inside really affects them, and they're afraid of it. It causes a lot of fear. Avoiding it or fixing it or ignoring it. People have their own relationship to fear. So that's like the first thing to identify is what's your flavor, right? Do you, I got to fix it or I'm going to overcome it. Or maybe it's like, it's not there. I'm just going to ignore it. Right? So whatever your flavor of your relationship to fear is, then you choose to really face it and then allow it. And we do this exercise and it's, I don't know if we have time to do it here, but in my TEDx talk, I walk people through it. Where we make the fear into an energy that you then locate in your body. And then you look at what color it is and what's the shape. I think we might have done this with you. I'm not sure.
You did do this with me.
Okay, we did. Yes. And then, you know, people are like, what? But they answer the questions. What's the color, the shape, the texture? And then they just allow it, right? So that's you're noticing, going back to the NO now, you're noticing that you even have the fear and locate it in your body. Then you observe it. What's the shape, the texture, the color, and then you welcome it. I don't go there all the way with people depending on where they're at, but essentially you can welcome it. Like I said, if the fear is like a little kid under your arms, like that's a kind of picture, they just want to be there. And we were doing this with a client. He had been burned in 2008 with a business, you know, or nonprofit, you know, loss, right? And was afraid of that happening again. So there's a lot of like tightening the control to ensure that doesn't happen again. But once we faced the fear and allowed the fear into the heart and observed it, and then it turned into like just a little old frail man. I know that was their visual of it. For others, it might be like black taffy. I don't know. Everyone's just different how it shows up. Usually it's some sort of dark gray mass cloud thing. That's just what his version was. And he's like, oh my God. He's like, what have I been scared of? A lot of it was from the father, right? Old energy. But then from that moment of the exercise, it lifted him off. So he could feel the fear coming back of that same pattern. And then picture the little old frail man that's like not harmful, which was like his dad, right? And then be off and running. And it healed the relationship with the father. I mean, it's wild what happened afterwards. Like, we're talking a 5-minute exercise from like decades of fear running your life to like being free of it, which is amazing, right? And healing that relationship. But yeah, that's the kind of work we do.
Yeah, that's amazing. So I've actually done this exercise with Anna in person. And those that know me well know that I have a lot of back pain. And we went through this thing and, you know, full transparency. It's like, what the heck are we talking about right now? And I went along with it. I did the exercise, even though it sounded a little weird, right? It's not something
totally.
That, yeah, I trust, right? Yeah. What's the color of this? What's the shape? What's the texture? And I'm like, I don't know why she's asking. I'm just going to answer. You know, maybe she'll just go away and leave me alone if I answer her questions. And I did this and I felt so much better after doing it. And I don't like, now I'm like, well, everyone needs to hear about this. Like, it's one of the main reasons I had Anna on the show today. It's like, I was like, people need to hear about this stuff because they don't always, we're not exposed to more things that are just whatever's in our intermediate circle. And then some people watch the news, whatever kind of news channel they watch. And all they show you is the thing that you're scared of. And then they tell you why you should be scared of it, whatever news you watch. And like, we've got to get some more good stuff. We've got to get some more good stuff on the podcast, people sharing all the good things. And then they tell us how they can energize your daily flow.
Yes. And just one piece before I go to energize is where all those questions are actually very intentional. So it hacks your brain essentially from being the thought and the fear and the body sensation to observing. Right? Because if you're like, I'm asking what color is it, you have to like suddenly go into a different brain and observe it. You go into that witness I was talking about earlier. There is a method to the madness that's very distinct. So it can trick people's brains to get to the energy.
So we got to rename your talk, How to Trick Yourself with Anna Choi. Yeah.
Yeah, it's exactly. So energize with daily flow. This is all about movement. We sit too much. We have very stagnant energy. We wonder why we have medical bills and we become out of shape or whatever. But never before have we been hunched over our desks or driving, sitting so long. So energize your daily flow is very simple. It's just moving your body. And it's being able to do so in the environment we're in, which many people have desk jobs. And it's being able to, if you think of your body like a battery, we have 3 main power sources. The one's located 2 inches below your navel, like your lower core, one's in your heart, and one's like, some people call it the third eye, but it's like your pineal gland. We have a lot of focus on the head in our society, a lot on meditation, on the mind, and those are all wonderful things. But for someone who has very stagnant energy sitting all day, it's very difficult to meditate in silence. Your brain's like going cray cray. The chattering mind just doesn't shut up before bed, right? So what do I do? What did I do? Oh, I should have done that. I got to do this. We cut to the bottom of it. The core of the engine is your second chakra, some people call it, or your, I call it Danjon, which is Korean for energy field or center. And it's, you know, if you're an Olympic athlete, a Navy SEAL, a vocalist, a performer, that's the source, is your core. Everybody, that's where you breathe deeply from and speak from. So we want to develop that, number one. For your battery, your energy body to really run well. And so there's a lot of exercises. We can try one now because even if you're driving, it won't make you crash. But don't do the hand part, just do the last part. But you put your thumbs on your belly button and you
hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on. Make sure you're in a safe place. I don't need to get sued over this conversation, okay? Make sure that you are in a safe place to do whatever Anna's going to suggest. I hold no responsibility on this.
Yes, he is not liable. I should make this disclaimer too. This is not for driving, but I am going to say what it is and you'll make your own decision. So if you suck your belly button into your spine, like a crunch, like you can do that while you're driving, right? Or while you're standing or on a Zoom call. And you just keep doing that. We call this intestinals. And you're literally joggling your small intestine and large intestine, because we can have up to 10 to 15 pounds of undigested food, even if it was really healthy, that putrefies because we don't freaking move enough. It just sits there and seeps into the little crevices. If you look at the structure of an intestine. So we're literally moving bowel through, but we're also bringing energy and oxygen and blood flow. And it's just healthy, right? So as you do that, exercise your inner organs. Most people don't. They just exercise their muscles or outside. But you exercise your inner organs. You will heat up there. And when you heat up and raise your body temperature, there's a plethora of beneficial benefits that happen. And you bring your hot energy from the head. We call it water up, fire down principle. And you bring that fire energy down into your core where it's cold and not functioning and stagnant. And you heat it up so it gets moving again, which then brings cool, calm energy back into your mind. So you can, instead of be a hothead that is too stagnant, you can be a calm, cool-headed person with a really hot-charged lower body. And in martial arts, you know, I'm a aspiring black belt, I'm a black belt candidate for Taekwondo, you have to, your lower body is always like hot and ready to go, and you're empty. We always say like empty at the top, so you can flow, right, and respond. But you have like a horse riding stance, you have a really strong, you know, engaged lower body. So anyway, most of us are reversed. Most of society is unbalanced. Too much energy at the top, focus on the mind, over brain works too much, not working out our lower body. If you flip it, empty out some of that stress, put it into the lower body, bring it down. Now we got proper energy circulation just for your body to function. Honestly, just for it to function normally. And on top of that, you get the added benefit of being more grounded, embodied, healthier. And then there's lots of, then you can think more clearly, you can get deeper sleep at night, you instead of age, you get younger. It's no accident, right, that our energy masters that look like they're 40 years younger than they are.
Yeah, no kidding, right? I feel like we met one of those on our trip who was an Asian supermodel, which is just, yeah, I won't go too far into that without she looks
there's
like
a dude that's, there's a dude that's 65 that's an energy trainer. I didn't know that he was 65. He looks, he's the body of a freaking 20-year-old, like ripped, shiny, like clean skin. And I'm like, you're 65? I mean, we don't see pictures of that in the news, right? But there's people like that. There's like a 102-year-old man who can do a toe touch.
I can't toe touch currently. I'm only 40. So definitely need to work on energizing my daily flow right now. Those of you that listen in on a regular basis, let me know you're listening to this. Send me a message. Be like, are you energizing your daily flow, Travis? I got to know. I have to know.
Nice. Build the accountability in.
What words would you like to leave our audience with if they're listening to this? Maybe they're hearing this for the first time and it sounds a little woo-woo and a little out there. Like, what would you tell people like that listening to this that are maybe need a little bit of something?
The question is, I usually find sleep is the indicator. Are you getting good, deep sleep? And people are like, no, or it's light sleep, or they wake up a lot, or they have insomnia. So I'm like, if you want to get good sleep, then master your energy. And the way to just simply start with that, right, you can, it's very basic. It's not like, move your body. That's the whole point of it. Just move your body. Do 1 minute moving meditations. You can do push-ups or calves or whatever, right? You know, exercise flows through your body. It doesn't have to be intestinals. Anything. If I could leave anybody with anything, it's like just move more. And in doing so, you'll be able to have more mindfulness and be able to meditate more. Like lots of things can happen just from moving more.
That's
move
fantastic.
Your body, feel your body. Yeah.
Where can people find you?
My website, souljoy.com, souljoy.com. And there's lots of free resources on there. You can also follow me on my Energy TV channel on YouTube. I'll give Travis the link, but it's youtube.com/AnnaSunChoi. AnnaSunChoi.
Absolutely. We'll have all those links in the show notes for y'all. Anna, thank you so much for being my guest today.
You are welcome. Thank you.
And if you like what you heard today, saw today, or read today, go to nonprofitarchitect.org/resources. Pick yourself up a copy of the Ultimate and Complete Podcast Guide, where I'm walking you through step-by-step of how to set up your own podcast, how to make the decisions on what you're going to do, how to buy the right equipment to make yourself successful, how to market it, find guests, how to monetize, all the great stuffs, PDFs in there, links to Google Forms that you just can rearrange for your own use. You don't have to recreate that from scratch. Go ahead and check that out, nonprofitarchitect.org/resources. Until next time.
You've been listening to The Nonprofit Architect. To listen to all our past shows, visit http://nonprofitarchitect.org. And be sure to subscribe, rate, and review our show. Thank you.